The Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History is opening a new mammal hall this weekend. We're here, as you can tell. It's a very graceful and imposing space. Features all of the stuffed giraffes and zebra and wildebeest you would expect of any self-respecting mammal hall. But there's a good deal more that might appeal to America's younger citizens. Robert Sullivan was kind enough to invite us down to this space on the National Mall. He's the Associate Director of Public Programs here at the Natural History Museum. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Sullivan.
You're welcome. Thanks
for
coming.
What's the natural sound we've been hearing behind us?
Well, you're hearing the savannah opening up just before a thunderstorm. We're right at the break point between the dry season and the wet season, and visitors get to go through a thunderstorm.
Well, tell us about, we're surrounded by mammals, and you have a working definition for what makes a mammal a mammal.
What makes you a mammal?
You need hair.
Gotta have hair. Gotta have milk. Mm-hmm. And you gotta have some special middle ear bones. That's all it takes.
Special middle ear bones?
Special middle ear bones. Actually, you find the same bone in reptiles in their jaw, but over time it evolved and moved up into the ear, and it gives us both some special kinds of hearing and balance as well.
Pardon me while I take cover. This is the rains are opening up in the savannah, right?
This is the thunderstorm.
I've got to ask about some of the mammals here. You have diorama cases that are filled with actual mammals.
Yeah, this is the orientation area, and it is absolutely full of the diverse mammals that exist today and also some that are reproductions of fossil ancestors, everything from walruses to squirrels to tiny shrews.
Is that a bull moose behind us?
That is a very big bull moose behind you that's talking to a very small mouse.
And did Teddy Roosevelt shoot that?
Teddy Roosevelt did not shoot that moosey, but he did shoot this rhino over here.
And we have an actual rhino here in the case, former rhino, I guess we call it. You're trying to tell the story of evolution, in a sense, aren't you here?
We're trying to tell the story of the evolution of contemporary mammals, and, you know, there are two very simple but I think profound points that the hall makes. You are what you are because of your family and the place you grew up, and those are the two things that turn you into what you are today.
I keep hearing about something called a morgue.
Oh, morgue.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Are we near the morgue?
We're getting there. Morgue is 210 million years ago, so it takes some time to get to him. Mm-hmm. But morgue is the unlikely single ancestor to all the different mammals that you see here, including ourselves. And he's a little shrew-like guy. I mean, I wish he were a big, proud Kodiak or a handsome silver fox, but he's just kind of a little rat.
I've got a question about body hair. Okay.
Well, let's not get personal.
Yeah,
whatever.
Because you've got some dolphins hanging above us.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins have body hair?
They
do. That.
They do. And it's short hair all across our bodies. I mean, if you have the time to examine your own body tonight, you'll find it is covered everywhere with hair, even small hairs.
More hair, the older you grow, as a matter of fact.
Well, I've not.
Guns
come out
of the ears and hairs.
This,
all right. Okay. Where are we now? We're in the Arctic?
We're in the Arctic area. And what we call the frozen north, and looking how animals adapt to that particular environment. So you can crawl under there and tell me what's under there, because I'm not willing to crawl under there to see.
Okay, this is a... it's a northern red-backed vole. Large groups of voles share their runways and tunnels to stay warm together in grass-lined nests. They're as small as hummingbirds.
Yeah, they're tiny.
Small, fur-covered creatures, and they're all nestling together for warmth.
While
in
you're
a
down
tunnel.
There, could you check for any spelling errors? Because we don't want to have to go in there to make sure the label's right.
Spelling seems to be... I don't know how to spell vole, but if it's V-O-L-E, it's fine.
Here you can touch some blubber.
Excuse me?
If you've never touched blubber, this is your chance.
Is this really blubber?
It's a reproduction of blubber, but it's perfect.
This feels like blubber.
It feels exactly like blubber.
A really big, thick eraser. Blubber is not just fat, not just lard?
It is primarily fat, but the seal is not ashamed to be fat. The seal actually likes to be fat.
Oh, so this is a harp seal.
That's a seal, and he's, of course, underwater, but if you look up, you see a polar bear who's kind of looking at him for a meal. So the polar bear is looking down and waiting for him to come up.
So the polar bears are up there. We're under the ice now.
Under the ice floor. And remember, seals are mammals, so they have to breathe air, so they have to come up, stick their noses out, and that's when they're in danger.
It's amazing how nature arranges that, isn't it?
Well, the rules of evolution are simple. I mean, every adaptation is a liability. I mean, every time you adapt to a particular environment, you become dependent upon that environment. So if the environment changes, you have to change. And if you don't, you're done for. You see a big old brown bear. by the way, we use shampoo on these specimens. I won't say what brand, but we use a rather inexpensive human shampoo to make them look this good.
Really?
Yep.
Conditioner?
We don't do conditioner.
Oh, all right. Okay. Oh, that's, so that's an actual brown bear. That's not just a...
Well, that's stuffed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yes. No, I know. Yeah.
So how do humans and chimpanzees fit into this story? Well, the answer is just barely.
This is what we call the Morgi Tabernacle.
Where it says, meet one of your oldest relatives?
That's him. Now, I warned you, he's not terribly good-looking.
He's just a little guy, isn't he?
That's probably why he survived. He scooted between the legs of the dinosaurs for millions and millions and millions of years. And our ancestors stayed underground pretty much during the dinosaur period to survive. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until after the dinosaurs were destroyed, probably by a meteorite, that they had the chance to move out and diversify, as you see here.
The scientific name is Morganucodon olleri. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even pretend.
Yeah. Morganucodon olleri.
And it lived 210 million years ago.
210 million years ago. It took a long time to evolve into us.
Good Lord, the first mammal on Earth. There really is something amazing about seeing this representation of the first mammal on Earth.
And this is the first time you're seeing this representation. This is the first three-dimensional reproduction of Morgi as he looked in life.
Now, I have no problem being related to a Morgi. And in fact, he looks a lot like my late Uncle Ray. But that being said, how are we related to the Morgi again?
Well, you, of course, have the hair, and you have the same middle ear, and you have the same milk, and the DNA that you share with Morgi is direct. That is, if you were to look inside and unzip your DNA, you'd see you have a lot of Morgi still in you. There you see the point we're trying to make here, from one ancestor, many mammals.
And we thought we were the life of the party. The truth is, we've just arrived.
Robert Sullivan is the Associate Director of Public Programs for the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History, which this weekend is sporting a new mammal hall. Mr. Sullivan, thanks very much.
Thanks for coming.